Hi, I'm Amanda Borchel-Dunn. Welcome to the Times of Israel Daily Briefing.
Your update on what's important in Israel, the Middle East, and the Jewish world.
Hello and welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. Today is Thursday, May 13th. I'm joined by our founding editor, David Horowitz, and the editor of Zman Yisrael, Biranit Goren. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, David.
Last night, we experienced one of the worst nights of internal Jewish-Arab chaos in years. We will discuss that. But to begin with, we will talk with Biranit about what it has been like this past week of living in the Tel Aviv region.
Hi. Well, I have to say, I mean, for us in Tel Aviv, it's not like we're not accustomed to ever having rockets fired at us. I mean, back in 1991, exactly 30 years ago, the first Desert Storm war, you know, we had Scud missiles fired at Tel Aviv on a daily night. But I think, you know, the human memory fades and you forget what it's like. So when it suddenly comes up again, you're taken by surprise. Look, we can't, you know, we were woken up at 3 a.m. Two nights ago, we were woken up last night at 1 a.m. At this point right now, it's not so scary. And we're just experiencing the tip of the iceberg of what people in southern Israel are experiencing almost on a daily basis right now, on a daily basis, for years now. So I don't think there's a sense of urgency in Tel Aviv in that respect.
In what our defense minister, Benny Gantz, is calling something no less dangerous than Hamas, last night we saw rioting and mob attacks throughout Israel, especially in Bat Yam, in which a young Arab Israeli was taken off of his vehicle and surrounded by Jewish men and beaten senseless. David, tell us about this utterly depressing trend that's happening.
Yeah, I have to say, for all that Hamas is committed to destroying the country and is pummeling everywhere up to and including Tel Aviv, as Bira just explained, and causing fatalities. There was a young boy, I think 5 years old, who was killed in the supposed safe room of his home in Sderot. And Sderot is just, it's a war zone with the civilians on the front line. For all of that, without minimizing that, the sight of Israel's internal fabric rending and Arab mobs marauding in some cities and Jewish mobs marauding in others and people from the Arab community being beaten within inches of their lives in the case of Bat Yam, and the opposite direction violence playing out with Jews targeted in Lod and elsewhere. This is terrible, and it's I think more of a threat to Israel even than Hamas. I think I've heard what Gantz has said. Other Israeli figures have I think correctly said that this is actually more dangerous than Hamas. It's the rending of the fabric of Israeli society, and if it continues and is not healed, this country's in real trouble, because this is an incredibly disparate populace with very different aspirations and identities. And there's all kinds of factors that are playing out here, including, you know, poverty and neglect in Arab communities, including efforts by Hamas and other extremists to stir up hostility to the notion of Israel as a majority Jewish state among an Arab community that is much of which is certainly not identifying with the Zionist fundamentals of this country, but which until relatively recently has overall managed to live in harmony, and again vice versa. We've seen this quote-unquote legitimation, I'm really sorry to use that word, of some of the most foul extreme groups in the Jewish mosaic. You know, you have now in the Knesset political parties, some of whose members are interested in expelling quote-unquote disloyal Arabs, representatives of a party that is extraordinarily extreme in its attitude to, it's radically homophobic. That party was able to, and it was an alliance of smaller parties that it was thought would not get enough votes to get into the Knesset because there wasn't enough support for those kinds of ideas. And an alliance was brokered with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's direct involvement. He put together an alliance of these and other factions, and they were emboldened by that. And I think Jewish marches by Jewish extremists in East Jerusalem after attacks by Arabs on ultra-Orthodox Jews on that seam in the east-west Jerusalem area, are also part of this terrible, terrible mix. Israel has lots and lots of critics. I think we're often very, very unfairly criticized about what's going on in Gaza. Israel left Gaza. Israel has no territorial claims in Gaza. And the terrorist organization that runs Gaza indiscriminately fires rockets all over Israel and uses every opportunity to harm Israel. Now, that's a complex conflict. How do you deal with that? And I'm not saying Israel always deals with it perfectly, but I understand how and why we must defend this country against a quasi-government of a terrorist organization that's trying to wipe us out. And there, I think a lot of the criticism of Israel is radically unfair and misplaced and misguided. In terms of the extremism that is increasingly flourishing in the last few days, especially in Israel, it is shameful for all sides in Israel. And never mind what other people outside say, we have to somehow fix it.
I think one of the things that is so disturbing about this extremism is that it breaks the stereotypical Jewish extremist who is supposed to be a hilltop youth, is supposed to be somebody who's living deep in the settlements, is supposed to be somebody who is living on the extremes. But we're talking about cities such as Bat Yam, which is really near the center of Israel. It's not this far away, far flung hilltop. We're talking about Haifa. We're talking about places that are meant to be, quote unquote, normal. And that to me is very disturbing. Bira, I see you shaking your head no. So please correct me in my perception.
This is our last saving grace that we make the distinction and understand who are the perpetrators and who is instigating this. Those are not local people. You know, when you look at Bat Yam and what happened yesterday, which was arguably one of the worst mob attacks we've seen in Israel. You know, it's not that we haven't seen some before, but this is up there, as far as visuals go, at least, you know, but those weren't local, residents. Those were thugs, hooligans, extremists that came from other places on buses, organized buses, to riot. And even when we look at cities where everything started, for example, the central city of Lod, a city that has 150,000 residents, approximately a third of them are Arabs. This is a mixed city, what we call the mixed city, where for 70 years, Jews and Arabs have coexisted. The breaking point wasn't because somebody there woke up one day and said, I don't want to live with Jews anymore, or I don't want to live with Arabs anymore. The breaking point was when you had right-wing religious group of people come into the city, settle down, and started saying, we don't want Arabs here. That's the breaking point. The breaking point is when the extremists have become mainstream. You know, when we talk about what David just said, when we talk about our parliament now having a faction, a super important, it's not a fringe faction. If we're, you know, we're probably going to talk about politics later, but if there will be a government in Israel, now doesn't rely only on mainstream, you know, middle of the road parties. It relies on the goodwill, if you will, of the extremists. And therefore they have a lot more power, a bigger role to play. And therefore they legitimize those fringe groups. But I think the biggest problem I have, and you know, I want to echo what David said with regards to the strengths of the state of Israel as a whole and the society of Israel specifically, you know, we are arguably one of the strongest army. We have the strongest army in the Middle East. We can face any challenge that we may have, but there's no rocket launcher for hatred. And what we've seen and the culmination of it was yesterday all across the country was a complete collapse of society and leadership. And I want to emphasize the leadership part from both sides. There was nobody on the ground. You don't feel that there's anybody there to calm things down, that there's anybody there to say, if I may quote the Atlanta mayor, go home. I mean, last year when there were those big riots in Atlanta, Georgia, following, you know, a rally against police brutality that became brutal of its own, the Atlanta mayor came out and passionately called out to the protesters, "This is not a protest. This is a riot. Go home. This is not our way." I don't see anyone from either side, neither from the Arab leadership nor from the Jewish leadership, doing that. I heard our president, Reuven Rivlin, calling into the studio last night in the middle of the night. He was on the verge of tears, and I was crying listening to him. But I'm not the person who needs to hear it. People need to see them on the street. They need to see the prime minister, the president, their local leadership, their spiritual leadership, going down there, doing the Martin Luther King thing, if you will, holding hands and marching and saying, enough is enough. Stop. This is not a protest. What you're doing is a riot. This is anarchy.
David, what do you have to say about the crisis of leadership that we have currently?
Well, you know, just to continue where Berenit left off there, Rivlin has spoken out. Lots of people have said the right thing. By the way, the mayor of Lod, who is, I would say, something of a controversial figure in this, in that he's certainly been an advocate of changing the mix in his city, I would say, and having a greater Jewish component in it. I hope that that's a fair take on it. I've heard him saying, you know, I'm telling my Jewish residents who have guns, stay home. I'm pleading with them to stay home. But the leadership on the ground is definitely lacking. I mean, Rivlin is indeed speaking from his soul. The prime minister condemned the attempt to kill that Arab man in Bat Yam last night in the most harsh terms across the spectrum, including all the way across the spectrum on the Jewish and the Arab side. I stress the Jewish side. So, you know, the leader of that religious Zionism alliance that includes the Kahanist Otzma Yehudit and the homophobic Noam condemned what happened last night. But in terms of actual leadership on the ground, conveying the message to the people who identify with you, that this has to stop, it's very lacking. And where do we go from here? We need an effort by leadership to lead and impress upon the various parts of this demographic what is unacceptable. We have, unfortunately, you know, years of frustration bubbling up here, a failure of the authorities to internalize where some of this was heading, a radically outflanked police force, under-resourced. It would appear to be not terribly well-led as well. But even if it had the best leadership of our police, I'm not sure that resource-wise it would be capable of tackling this, and therefore, you know, the practicality of tackling this on the ground for the authorities is incredibly difficult. But it becomes easier if there is political leadership drawing clear lines and making plain what is right and what is wrong and what is unacceptable. It's going to take a long time to try to heal, but that's the only direction that things can go in. And you have to start that you have to hope. Maybe one small ground for optimism is the degree of horror prompted by what was unfolding in the last few hours, especially in few days. Just maybe enough people with enough moral authority and enough sway are sufficiently horrified that they will help Israel pull back from this.
We're actually paying a price for many years of negligence in the Israeli way of thinking that things will eventually turn out all right. You don't have to do the work for it. We're, you know, this past month, let us all remember that it's only been 2 weeks since this most horrific tragedy in Har Meron, you know, and we are now seeing what happens when you have a police force that did not have a chief for 2 years because they couldn't be bothered to deal with it. And then eventually chose somebody on probably somewhat political reasons. When you have weakened authorities, when you have weakened law and order after years of government, our own government pounding against them, we are now paying a price for it. We don't have law and order in Israel. We just don't. And I hope, I truly hope that this is a wake-up call, as David says, that, that we've kind of reached the bottom so that we can start, you know, moving up and understanding that fundamental things, not just personal or personnel, need to change here.
Thank you, both of you. I think the theme of hope, which is our national anthem, is one that we're going to end with here. And maybe we have a quiet weekend and a good holiday.
Here's hoping. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Hi, it's Sarah Tuttle Singer from The Times of Israel. Come join our community and support fast and fair independent journalism. You can sign up with the link at the bottom of every single article on the site.
Thanks for listening to The Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. A special thanks to our producer, Raoul Woodliff. I'm Amanda Borshel-Dan.
You can find us daily wherever you get your podcasts.
And on our mothership, thetimesofisrael.com.